Christians play as dynamic and important a role in the life of all Americans as does the Supreme Court. Now, the purpose of this particular lecture, the first in a series of 14, is to introduce the essential features of the Supreme Court of the United States. This lecture was going to give specific and particular attention to the role of the court in the context of the Constitution. We'll talk a little bit about jurisdiction. We'll talk a little bit about its composition and operation. I'm going to mention several of its justices, some who've done quite well and others who, well, didn't do well at all. And we'll also talk about the major phases of the development of the court over the past two centuries. And I want to stress this point particularly to you. Think of the Supreme Court as a mirror that reflects back the changing assumptions and the culture of American society. And if you think of it in that way, then you realize that one of the most important roles that the Supreme Court does is to adapt and change to the circumstances that are presented to it. Now, not everyone believes, of course, that the High Court should, in fact, adapt the Constitution. Some would argue that it should exercise absolute fidelity to the original meaning of the framers. Others, however, suggest that one of the critical roles that the court plays is that it does, in fact, take the Constitution and take the set of circumstances that are presented to it and adjust those to fit the needs of the time. We're going to pursue the history of the court through what its principal means of expression to the American people is. And those are the cases that the court decides. We're going to examine 13 of the most important cases ever decided by the High Court. Now, some may think that others should take the place or one or more of these, but I would submit to you that as we work our way through each of these cases, you'll see the way in which this magic mirror of the court reflects back the changing assumptions about the nature of the Constitution, the nature of American politics, and the character of American society. And when I get to the end of the lecture today, I'll also suggest to you a couple of works that I think would be especially helpful in drawing some broader understanding. First, though, let's see if we can turn our attention to the court itself. It is at once the most accessible and the least accessible branch of government. Unlike the executive and legislative branches, the Supreme Court of the United States has to explain what it does. And it does so through its writings, and those writings appear in decisions. Since the court's founding back in 1789, it's delivered enough opinions to fill more than 500 volumes of the official reporter of the court's decisions. That's United States Reports. And as of 2001, there were 110 justices who had sat on the High Court. Now, the justices, we need to remember, reached their decision through a process that involves very open argument in court by parties who are in an adversarial relationship. That session in court provides the justices the opportunity to raise questions before the counsel that are appearing in the court. And, of course, what goes on in the court is reported in the media on a very regular basis. In fact, few persons who argue before the Supreme Court, lawyers that is, ever really complete their arguments because the justices take a highly interventionist role. Yet the court is also among the least open, in some ways the least accessible of the branches of the American government. The justices, once they hear a case, then go back into what's called a conference. And no one is permitted in the conference except the justices themselves. Now, these conferences have been going on, again, for more than 200 years. They've changed in character over time. John Marshall did them a little more informally and with a little more depth than is apparently done today. We don't know for sure exactly what happens. Some of the justices have left notes and diaries behind that indicate some of what has occurred in the conferences. We do know that increasingly the conferences have become somewhat more formal as opposed to informal discussions. Even the justices' clerks, and the clerks, by the way, have been around since the mid-1870s, even the justices' clerks are excused from these meetings. The Chief Justice presides over the meetings of the conference. He's the person in the end who makes the decisions about who will end up writing the opinions, the opinion for the court.